Listening test 2. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions, and you will have a chance to check your answers. The recordings will be heard only once. The test is in 4 sections. Record all your answers in your test book, and at the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to a special answer sheet. Now turn to section 1. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between an estate agent and a student who is looking for a flat to rent. First, you will have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You will see that there has been an example written for you. On this occasion, only the conversation relating to the example will be played first.
Hello, I'm calling about the flat in Stanley Road and I'd like to know some details about it. Is it big enough for 2 students to share?
Yes. Actually, we've got 2 properties in that area now, the one in Stanley Road and another in Clare Street, 12A, at the top of the High Street.
The estate agent tells the student that another property is also available, so Clare Street has been written in the space. Now we will begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, as you will not hear the recording a second time. Now listen carefully to the conversation and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, I'm calling about the flat in Stanley Road and I'd like to know some details about it. Is it big enough for 2 students to share?
Yes. Actually, we've got 2 properties in that area now, the one in Stanley Road and another in Clare Street, 12A, at the top of the High Street.
I know where that is. How much are they?
Well, the one in Stanley Road is £280 a month, so that's £140 each. And that's not bad for a top floor flat. It's very nice too. As well as 2 bedrooms, it's got a kitchen, bathroom and a small living room. But there's a spare room at the back you could use as a study. The bills aren't too high either. The electricity is usually about £20 a month, and the gas is even less, around £15 every month. Oh, and the water is only around £112 a year for the whole building.
And how many flats are in the building?
In Stanley Road? I think there are 4 flats there. Yes, that's right, 4. There's even a backyard you share with the flat below, so you can hang washing outside, or just sit in the sunshine, if there is any. There's no parking, though.
That's okay. Neither of us has a car.
But the 94 bus goes straight to the university from right outside. It's really nice. Would you like to see it?
Before the conversation continues, you have some time to read questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 6 to 10.
Yes, it sounds really great. But could you tell me about the other one as well?
Yes, of course. Clare Street is much bigger. Actually, it's not a flat, it's a house and costs more as well. The rent for that one is, let me see. Yes, £360 a month. But as you're sharing the rent between the two of you, it's quite reasonable. It's got 2 living rooms and a dining room downstairs, and upstairs there are 2 bedrooms and a bathroom. Oh, and there's a little room in the attic you could use as a study or even another bedroom.
What about the bills?
The house only has electricity. There's no gas, so you pay 1 bill a month. It's really economical. Only about £30 per month, so even though the house is larger, it costs less to run.
That would save us some money. Does it have a garden?
Yes, it does. It's not big, but it's got a shed to store bikes in. Oh, and a very nice little pear tree.
A pear tree?
Yes, so you can have your own fresh fruit. There is a parking space, but since you don't have a car, it doesn't matter. But the 53 bus stops at the top of the high street and goes right past the university, so that's really handy too. In fact, you don't need a car at all if you decide to take either of the properties. So, do you want me to arrange things so you can see them?
That is the end of section one. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Section 2. Now turn. You will hear a university accommodation officer describing the accommodation available at Chiltern University. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 13. Now listen carefully to the talk and answer questions 11 to 13.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here today to tell you a little bit about the accommodation options you have when you study at Chiltern University. We really are very fortunate in the range and variety of housing options available to us in the area. As some of you may know, there are a number of areas which are particularly popular with Chiltern students, in addition to the university campus. However, two of these, Langley and the Round Hill Estate, tend to be used by third-year students who are happy to live further away. Today, then, I'll just be discussing the accommodation, which is most appropriate for students entering their first year with us. Upton, that's the student village you see just before you enter the campus, Walgrave, the family accommodation in the middle of town, and the accommodation on campus known as Park Hill.
Before the talk continues, you have some time to read questions 14 to 19. Now listen carefully and answer questions 14 to 19.
Your choice of where to live will be determined by a number of factors. Although most of you are probably single, some of you may have families or partners for whom campus accommodation is not really suitable. Families will be much better off in the private rented centre in Walgrave. In fact, Walgrave is suitable for a number of different reasons. There is more choice in the private sector. Houses of different sizes, different kinds of flats, the option to rent just one room in a house, and of course, Walgrave is in the heart of the city, near all the amenities like schools, doctors, and so on. However, the vast majority of our students are single, and the accommodation on campus is largely limited to single rooms. These rooms are ideal for single students with built-in wardrobes, a single bed, even a kettle. All you need to bring are your clothes and a TV. The other advantage of these rooms in Park Hill is that you feel safe. Each block has a 24-hour porter. And because the rooms are on campus, it means you don't need to walk home for miles in the dark after late lectures or a social evening on campus. Upton, the student accommodation village, has many of the advantages of both Park Hill and Walgrave. There's no doubt that there's lots to do in your free time in the student village. There is always someone holding a party, and you can always find someone to have a coffee or play sport with. Another great advantage of the student village is that it's near two libraries. Both the public library and the university library building are within 2 minutes of Upton. It also has a computer centre, very useful when you need to research or type up your assignments. Now, I know it can be difficult to make a decision about where to live while you are studying here. You have to make the right choice, as you want to feel at home. Otherwise, you'll end up feeling miserable and homesick. You should avoid renting anywhere which is over your budget, then you'd find yourself visiting the bank manager for a loan. Also, think about the area. You've got to live in an area you are comfortable with. So if you have any questions at this stage, I'll be very pleased to answer them, either now or you can come to my office any time within the next week.
That is the end of section 2. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Section 3. Now turn to section. You will hear a journalist interviewing three foreign students about their time at university in Britain. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully to the discussion and answer questions 21 to 25.
Now, Dimitri, if I can start with you. You went to Yorkshire, didn't you? The university, I mean.
Actually, no. I applied to the University of Yorkshire along with other universities, but my first choice was a college in Cambridge, and that's where I was offered a place. And I accepted it, of course. I'm very proud of that.
And what did you study there?
At first I studied maths, but after a few weeks I decided to change to organic chemistry. I find it a far more absorbing subject.
You obviously enjoyed it.
Oh yes, I think they were probably the best days of my life. I enjoyed meeting people from different countries and from all social classes. And what I found really fascinating was coming into contact with so many cultures from around the world. It was incredible.
And is that where you met Dimitri, Marekka?
No, actually we had met when we both attended the same pre-sessional program before starting our university courses. We got on well from the beginning as we found we had many shared interests. For a start, we were both going to study for science degrees, but our main point of contact was our mutual love of sport, especially football.
You now have some time to read questions 26 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 26 to 30.
And did you know Dimitri and Marekka, Philippe?
No, I met them at the beginning of the second year when we lived in the same hall of residences.
So you became friends?
Yes, in the second year my father was ill. I had to go back to Holland and they helped me catch up on the work I missed when I got back to Britain. That's when we became such good friends.
Was your father very ill then?
Yes, he had a serious problem with his spine. It wasn't broken, but he had an accident and he couldn't walk. I had to go back home and I was away for 4 months altogether.
And Philippe, you also had a difficult second year, didn't you?
Yes, you see, I changed my subject.
Why? Weren't you happy with chemistry?
Actually, I wasn't doing chemistry. I had originally wanted to be a doctor, but I hadn't got the grades, so I was doing medical physics. It was quite interesting, but I discovered that it wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't dislike it, I just fell in love with another subject.
So what is your degree in then?
Ancient history. My father wasn't exactly pleased that I changed, but it really was the best decision I ever made.
Well, now for my final question. What was the worst thing about living in Britain?
The horrible food.
The work.
Everything costs so much.
More work.
The weather.
Seriously though, it's got to be the amount you have to spend just to survive here. Britain is certainly not cheap.
I agree, that's the main problem.
Yeah, we've all had problems making ends meet.
Well, thank you very much for your insight into life in Britain through the eyes of our overseas visitors. This report will be appearing in...
That is the end of section 3. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Section 4. Now turn. You will hear part of a lecture on aviation engineering. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully to the talk and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first of our talks given by guest lecturers. I would like to introduce you to Professor Alan Carver from the University of Texas, who has kindly agreed to tell you about recent developments in military and civil aircraft design. Professor Carver.
Well, thank you all for that very warm welcome. Now, I don't need to tell you that aircraft design has changed considerably since the Wright brothers made their first manned flight a century ago. The design of aircraft has altered beyond recognition since then, and will continue to do so, I expect. I'd like today to show how aircraft wings have evolved from those early days of aviation. To illustrate this, I have four slides to show you how aircraft wings have altered since the first planes flew. My first slide shows the flexible wooden frame arrangement used by the Wright brothers. The frame of the wing could be twisted to change the direction of flight. It looks very primitive now, but was an innovation at the time. It's such a simple design. By the 1920s and 1930s, there was a dramatic improvement in the shape of the wing. The next slide shows a more recognizable wing shape with thick aerofoils and a thick structural framework. The more streamlined design made it better for takeoff and lift. Note the upper part, how curved it is. The third slide shows a cross-section of the wing developed by NASA. The wing is almost flat on the top and curves downward at the trailing edge of the bottom. It's thicker at one end. My last slide projects what aircraft wings may be like in the future. We anticipate that the wing will contain internal computer-controlled mechanisms, which will enable the wing to change shape to ensure efficiency at any speed. You can see in the slide that the wing can be altered to perform different functions. Now, for the next part of my talk. Some of the more extreme aircraft designs have been made for military purposes. For inspiration, we look to the all-time masters of the air, the birds. I very much doubt that aircraft will ever have the agility in the skies that birds do, but we are getting close with a specially modified U.S. Air Force F-16 fighter. The F-16 is able to move sideways almost as though it is jumping, or stepping sideways. If you've ever seen a hummingbird darting from flower to flower, you'll know what I mean. There have been a number of other advances in aviation technology. For example, the stealth bomber is virtually invisible to enemy radar due to its almost completely flat profile. There have been developments in civil aviation too. You Brits have developed a new way for planes to take off, so that they don't require as much fuel for takeoff by using a special ramp. This will have a great impact on the aircraft industry, as rising costs for fuel mean a reduced profit margin for the airlines. And we know that so many airlines are facing possible bankruptcy, as fewer passengers are traveling these days. And there have been improvements to the design of aircraft, which have made traveling more pleasant for passengers. New, longer-winged airplanes make flights more comfortable for passengers and pilots. And a young Californian designer has come up with an aircraft that doesn't stall. Since 20% of general aircraft fatalities occur when the engine stops and the plane goes into an uncontrollable downward spin, this is a revolutionary as well as a potentially life-saving development. Young engineers like him and you are at the forefront of aviation design, and I hope to be seeing some of your names attached to future developments.
That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet. please stop writing.